This is the Growth and Greatness e-commerce podcast, powered by Right Hook Digital, with your hosts, Scott Seward and Raymond Johnston. If you're an e-commerce brand founder, entrepreneur, or marketer looking to accelerate profitable growth for your business, then listen in, because this is the podcast for you.
Okay. Welcome back to the Growth and Greatness podcast. We've had a little hiatus. Things have been a little bit hectic internally here at Right Hook. There's been a lot going on, but we are back. Ray, good to be back with you, brother. We've got to
look. Hey, it's good to be back.
That time of year, man.
It is. And that's one of the reasons why there's been that hiatus. We've been scaling up in the agency side, as well as prepping for an even bigger Q4 than we had last year.
What's been happening on the agency side? Let's just give everyone a little update.
Yeah, so we hit our biggest employee count ever. We're at 100 employees now. It's a great feeling. I think it's very fulfilling. I can't believe, 4 years ago, we're like, oh, a 50-person agency sounds good, but here we are at 100. It's both amazing, but also scary at the same time. And so that's one way, scaling up. The second thing we've been doing as well is, we have a retention department as well, email, SMS, and we have a full-fledged Google department, PPC, YouTube, shopping. So it's, amazing moves, especially coming into Q4 for our brands. But yeah, like it's been a blur since our last podcast.
Absolutely, man. The influencers as well. We've got influencer department getting fleshed out. There's production capability in the background. There's a lot going on. So we've definitely kept ourselves busy, but we're really trying to get more of that end-to-end, service capability there and make sure that we're executing it at the highest level possible. So it's been pretty crazy, but it's coming in a Super Bowl season, man. Q4, it's nearly here. What are we doing?
Yeah. So we're doing a lot. And I think the biggest thing that what we started actually 2 weeks ago with our brands is the first thing we always do is we have to look at any brand we work with last year. Like look at last year, what information can we take away? The pros, the negatives, the learnings, as well as all the data that we have from last year that we can apply to our accounts. So that's always where it starts, is like analyzing what worked last year. And again, like last year was a bit of an outlier, right? It's kind of like a golden era. We had a lot of the COVID lockdowns that definitely blew a lot of things out of, not proportion, but like it definitely skewed things. So we have to take that into account, but there's still amazing learnings from last year.
And last year was kind of interesting as well, though, because there was such a pump in the middle of the year when all the lockdowns started that I was almost a little underwhelmed with Black Friday and Q4, because I think there was maybe it was just because the expectation, because it was definitely bigger than the year before, without doubt. But it was just because I remember like April to July was just absolute madness. It was like Christmas for 3 months. So then Q4 came around and it was big, but I was kind of wasn't sure whether it was going to really explode, because people were, I guess, more accustomed to buying online at that stage, or a lot of new demographics were sort of forced to buy online just because of the whole COVID situation. But yeah, I think this year's going to be interesting. The whole game has been flipped on its head almost in the other direction with iOS 14 and those updates. So it's an ever-changing field, right? Like you got to be on your toes. You got to be across what's happening. And we've been preparing a lot. It's going to be a bit of a different approach this year. So let's dive into it and look at it from a bit of a high level to start, because there's three main areas that we focus on in terms of preparing for Black Friday and the team. And, you guys have on the strategy team have already got that underway with clients, as you said. That's been in the works for a few weeks now. What are those three areas? Let's start with the first pillar of preparing for Black Friday.
Yeah, that's a great question. So every brand, every e-commerce brand that is, there's three areas you should focus on. We call them pillars. And the first pillar is list building, which we can go into specifics. So you have list building. The second one is teasing. And the third one is the actual launch. Now, those pillars, they pretty much outline how you should think about your strategy, and your strategy really should start now if it hasn't already. But then of those three pillars, the two most important components of Black Friday, which we'll get into later on, is going to be the list building and then the offers. But the first one, the list building, from now until Black Friday, that's all you should be focusing on.
And what, in terms of planning around that and timelines, what does that look like? Like, when are we starting that planning? What's going into that? When are we starting to sort of think about running those list building operations and campaigns? Let's just dive in there a little bit, but then we'll get into the more technical side sort of a bit later on.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it depends on the maturity of not only the brand, but also the mindset. And I know you're huge on mindset, especially for e-com brand owners. And if you ask one e-com brand, they've been prepping for Q4 since January because they had that mentality. They also have the history behind them to know how important it is. But I'd say for the majority of brands, they start planning the end of July, especially August. And the reason why is list building. For those of you who don't know what that term is, it's essentially just purposefully capturing customer data, either from a purchase or from a lead capture for the intent of remarketing to them. Like that's the whole point of list building. But it's the great pig that you're trying to fatten up for the slaughter. As I tell our team, like the bigger the pig, the fatter the slaughter, the bigger the feast. And list building is what makes the pig fat.
That's so true. I remember we were looking at some cohort analysis on one of our bigger clients earlier this year, and that data supported that so much. I remember we were looking at it and looking at last year's data, and what did that look like with the numbers and the acquisition in about like the 3 months prior to Black Friday as opposed to earlier in the year? There was massive difference in the numbers of LTV, right?
Sometimes it was like 200% increase in the profit from that first time customer. From like say September to December, as opposed to the months prior. Like it was, for example, I've ever seen an LTV cohort. It measures the time from the first time someone purchases and when they purchase or have repeat purchases throughout the rest of the year. And so like sometimes it's just in the double digits, but like in Q4, man, that's when you get into double digits and the percentage of the profitability increase. And that's like, yeah, you're right. Like we saw that. We're like, wow. Really, that's why, like, truthfully, prepping for Q4, if you have that mindset, is starting in Q1, but really Q3 is when you really got to put the pedal down.
And it's really the adjustment in those acquisition numbers. If you're really clear on what impact that has from your lifetime value, the closer that you're acquiring someone to Black Friday, there are much, much higher likelihood to repurchase over Black Friday. Really means that you can put the foot down from an acquisition standpoint, not just a list building standpoint, but you know, earlier in the year, you may be looking for a little bit more fat, a bit more profitability on those front-end acquisitions. But if you know that they're 30, 40, 50% more likely to repurchase over Black Friday in, say, the 3 months prior to Black Friday, you know, you could be comfortable breaking even over those months, depending on the size and the business model, knowing you're going to make up for it in November, right?
And that's what's weird is it's all about mindset too. And we all have businesses. We all, you know, have to keep our business profitable. It's the whole point of being in a business. But if you looked at every e-com business that we've ever looked at, hundreds, the majority of their profit, the biggest percentages is in Q4. So if you know that, like all of your planning should be around, like, how do you maximize that area? Because it's like, it's very clear for all e-com brands. Some may not because they have different seasonalities, but for the majority, it's that. And it always amazes me that even by showing those numbers, brands, like, they're kind of scared to be okay breaking even. And I think, like, with the brands we work with, like, we push really hard to help them understand that mindset. And I want to ask you, Scott, why do you think that is? Because I know you're really big in the finances, and then you're a huge part of our team managing the finances as well. Like, why do you think that is? Is that a mindset that's easily overcomable?
It's a tough one. And I think it really just depends on where the business is at. It really depends on the business, right? And I think the experience of the business owner and entrepreneur. So, for example, you know, really early stage first time e-commerce owners that, you know, trying to maybe get out of their job or they've just left their job, they're in a much higher risk stage. They're really relying on the income and that profit, and I guess you'd be nervous in not having that profit there on the front end and being able to tangibly see it, and it's almost a bit of an unknown as to whether people are going to purchase again down the road. I think that's probably the mindset part to overcome. They just might not be in a position where they can sustain like break even acquisition for 2 months, or it just feels too high risk for where they are. Whereas, you know, a business that's got cash in the bank, they've been through Q4 multiple times, they understand that Q4 generally represents possibly 20, 30, 40. I've seen brands up to 60, 70% of their revenue driven over Black Friday alone. So I think there's so many variables there. And I think it really comes down to just the experience and confidence and of the owner and knowing their business and knowing the dynamics of Q4 and what their numbers look like over the year. So yeah, I think there's a few things there, but you know, I think it's definitely the earlier you can start thinking about that And we know this is how the big brands win. They know that they can get themselves into a position where they have strong repeat purchase rates. They have really strong retention game, email, SMS, loyalty programs, referral programs, et cetera. And they know that they're making that profit on the back end. Front end is acquisition, and they can be as aggressive and focus on volume there. Back end is retention, and that's generally where they're driving most of their profit. And I think that's, you know, as startup founders, if you can start getting yourself into that mindset, that's where you're playing the long game, because you're going to win by acquiring the most customers and retaining for them and getting the most value out of them over time. But it's obviously building the team and the resources and those channels out so that they're performing optimally, which obviously takes time. But that's the challenge, man. That's the game that we're playing.
I want to ask you is from a financial perspective, are there any signs or hints that you're in a good position to scale aggressively on the customer acquisition from now until Q4?
Well, yeah. And this year has been very different just because I think there's probably been a lot of inconsistency for people. And we've seen that across brands, you know, with the lack of attribution and data being fed back to Facebook. And let's talk about brands that are heavily reliant on Facebook. That's probably where my head's at more here. It seems to have been a bit up and down, a bit inconsistent. Performance across the board generally is not as strong as it was, especially last year, because last year, you know, we've almost seen both ends of the spectrum, like absolutely amazing returns to really, really thin and tight. And you've got to adjust your strategy around that, or at least adjust your expectations. Yeah, that's the challenging part right now. I think going into this year is just really understanding your numbers and where you're at. And if things are healthy for you, then, you know, I think going and trying to be a bit more aggressive. But I also think we feel like we're seeing a little bit of the bottom in the performance side. Like how have you seen that the last couple of months? Because it seems to have at least plateaued.
You're exactly right. So we definitely felt the bottom probably in June, some brands in July. We're starting to feel a significant, I'd say a plateau, especially because most of the people that have opted out of iOS 14, we pretty much reached the full extent of it at this point. So things are starting to stabilize more. Also, Facebook is starting to roll out their model data, that's another topic. But we are starting to see a significant a little bit more data. How you think about it, it doesn't change, especially in the post iOS 14. But what I would say is, for the most part, it's not going to get any worse. Like, this is most of the adoption rate has already happened on the opt-outs.
Yeah, and we're just hoping that can improve over Q4. You know, if we can get that Q4 surge and an improvement in the data that's being fed back, and, you know, we've been doing a few things internally around that. We'll keep a lid on for now, but it's we're trying to improve things and help. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. But I think you still just got to take the approach of looking more at your overall numbers as opposed to relying on Facebook and ROAS numbers in the dashboard. And we'll dive into the measurement side a little bit later on. But for now, let's move on to the second pillar. We'll dive into the teasing aspect of what we do in our process and our build up to Black Friday. So what's a big part of the planning in there, and what does that look like for brands?
That's a great question. So on the teasing part, to kind of boil it down to terms that people can understand, teasing is all about throwing a party. And how I like to teach our team is, in Q4, there's lots of parties happening, whether that's holiday parties or shopping parties, whatever that is. And if you're like on a college campus and it's during spring break, there's hundreds of parties. So the question is, how are you going to make sure people come to your party and not someone else's? And that's what we like to call the tease. You announce that the sale is happening, but you got to stay top of mind. And how you do that is by getting people on your list to opt into what you call a VIP list or first comers list, whatever you want to call it. But you identify the people that are interested in your party. Then once they're interested, you stay top of mind. And that's by, from when the time they opt in to the time that the sale or the party actually happens, you keep them focused on you. So there's many tactics you can do about that, but it's all around building hype and FOMO. Meaning, as you specifically tell them the sale is coming, and you start reserving special details about it. And once they're in that list, you release more, give them more updates, more surprise and delights. And I can give you guys examples. But why this is so important is because what it does is it keeps them focused on you and not all the competition. Because when they're on your list, you keep showing up with new information, new offers. Or, for example, a tactic I'll just tell you right now that I really like is, is don't tell them that you're going to give the first 100 people a free gift, as an example. We have a lot of brands that do that, to where they'll opt in, and then once they're in the VIP list, then they'll say, oh, by the way, in 4 days, the first 100 people that buy are also getting a free gift. And then 2 days before the event, oh, and by the way, we're also going to do this. So it just, it gets them that hype, that excitement, to where like they're focused on you and nothing else.
That's super cool. So how far out from Black Friday specifically would you start that teasing process?
We recommend 14 days. And the reason why is anything longer than that, it's going to be hard to keep them engaged and focus on you. Because you want to think of it as, and let's use human nature. My wife tells me we're going to go hang out with a couple, and a month from now, I will forget. And then the day before, she's like, oh, by the way, don't forget, right? But if you tell me 2 weeks before, and then you just share a few details, like I'll remember and I'll stay focused on. So we recommend 14 days. It makes it really easy to keep them engaged, but also it makes it really easy for you to, what I call, just a quick smash, get them really pumped up. And then, because like we've had brands in the past that tried doing 30 days and it was too long. People lost interest and they went to a different party.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I just think about myself and your example there with something that your wife would set for you. I'm the same. Like if it's more than 2 weeks out, it's just, it's too far away to keep in your mind. But 2 weeks, it's like, okay, that's next week. That's pretty close. And you can keep that flow. And you only need to drop something, you know, every third day or something like that, just as that little reminder, just that continued dopamine hit throughout the process, and keep building it up and building it up. So yeah. Couldn't agree more.
We recommend that the closer you get to it, increase your frequency. So if it's like 14 days, do one every 2 or 3 days, keeping them warm and building the hype. But as it gets closer, increase that frequency to make sure that they're really hot and really focused.
Absolutely. Solid advice right there. Pillar three.
Yeah, pillar three is the launch. It's what I like to call organized chaos. If you've ever seen pictures of the stock market in the old days, people yelling on the floor, like I love it. It's the best time of the year for me. But the launch, honestly, it's the payoff. It's the payoff from the roasting the pig. It's the payoff from all the investment you put into the list building and the tees. And the launch, for the most part, it's pretty simple. Now, depending on some brand styles, and I'll tell you different styles, you can go with a very simple launch where you pick a date and time, you tell your VIP list when it's going to happen, you launch it, you send them an email, send them a text message, just sit back and watch the sales. That's a tried and true way. You can't really go wrong. And whoever's doing your paid acquisition, it's a little bit different what we do, because we do a lot of paid acquisition. We go in with the expectation that it's going to go well if they prepped right and they did all the steps right, to where we'll actually, for example, let's say your budget for that day is 10K. We'll set the budgets to spend 15K, because it's really easy to cut back the budget throughout the day, but it's really hard to scale in the day. So we go in with the expectation that performance is going to be there so we can scale back. But another tactic that you guys can use is for our VIP list for the launch, we'll actually let the VIP list in early, 2 hours earlier for everybody else for that sale. And maybe even make it really sweet for them, like give them an additional 5% off, whatever you want to do. But one thing I like to always remind our brands is, and we had a meeting with our email team just yesterday about this, where people go wrong is they'll send one email or one SMS letting their list know, or one post, one social post, and that's it. That's all I'll do for the day. That's the wrong thing to do. Like, this is the one time a year you should be 3Xing your frequency, 4Xing your frequency. And I get asked every year, well, how do you know it's too much? When you stop making money, that's when it's too much. But if you're still making money from it, keep pushing and sending.
I reckon we could probably do about 3 episodes just on how to run things across the weekend, because as you said, like that is... And it changes every year. Like if I think back, you know, 4 or 5 years and to how it is now and the shifts, and every year's got its own DNA, right? It's just the way the market operates, the way things perform. People are trying to get going earlier and earlier. So let's actually stop there and really like your insights there. We start seeing people running Black Friday offers at the end of October.
Crazy.
What do you think about this in terms of timelines, and how early is too early? Is it worth it? You know, is there validity in running your Black Friday campaign at the beginning of November for cheaper costs and completely doing almost nothing on Black Friday?
It's a great question. And I'll be transparent. I'm not a fan of it, but I've seen it work well. I think where we should start is like, what are the pros and cons of doing it? Because there are significant pros and cons. Doing it earlier, the pro is less competition. I mean, there's still a lot of people doing it, but it's significantly less competition. You're potentially have less competition for your party, if you want to keep that same analogy. Why I don't like it is because you have a whole month to keep people focused on you. Like, that's a long party. Like, the amount of work you have to go into to keep people hyped about you, the reality is, like, you're going to have one big day, maybe a couple big days, and it's going to fizzle out unless you do something to revive it. So that's why I'm not a fan of it. I'd say last year is when we saw more people going earlier than I've ever seen. Like, I saw brands going in October, and I think maybe if we saw the back end, we actually see the numbers, if it was actually worth it. The reason why I'm not a fan of it is I like it short and sweet and powerful. I like to have it short, it's okay if you launch it before Black Friday, but keep it short because you want to have a really big buildup. And what I would say to caution people on is if, for example, people know that typically your Black Friday deal is the best you're going to have all year, as an example. And so if they know that you've already launched it in like the middle of November or the first week of November, they know that's the best you're going to get. And what I have often found in brands that do that is they'll have a really great day, but their sales are going to suck the rest of the month because like people know, I'm not going to go back to them. They've already done their Black Friday thing. It's not going to get any better or sweeter than that. But I would also say is because typically those brands, they wouldn't follow the extreme that we go through to prep for those downturns ahead of time so that they'll launch and their sales will go down. But yeah, that's my opinion. I would highly recommend you keep it a week max or just keep it to that weekend, because at the end of the day, there's lots of competition, but it doesn't mean that you still can't win. It just means that I think people are more primed over that weekend to spend money than they are earlier in the month, personally.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You know, everyone's sort of building up for that. And I think that's probably the biggest dynamic shift that I've seen since going back 4 or 5 years ago. When I was running campaigns for Q4, and probably more specifically for Australia, because Black Friday in Australia has only really become as big as it has, I'd say, the last 3 years. Before that, it was kind of tapering up, but it was much more a US thing. So prior to that, Australia from like early mid-October all the way through to December was just really solid, like really good and solid and consistent the whole way through. Now I see it. It's much more the calm before the storm, that big explosion that everyone, especially for everyone doing Christmas shopping, like they know that they can save money by just shopping over Black Friday now. And I think they've been conditioned to that. So I think the buyer behavior through Q4, Australia more specifically, I'm not sure because I wasn't really running US Black Fridays, prior to 4 years ago. So I don't know whether you've noticed that shift on the US side at all, but that's a definite change in Australian, way buyers operate around Christmas.
Yeah. I've definitely noticed that shift. And I have one brand specifically I'm thinking about where they wanted to do a month long Black Friday. And what they did to combat it was they would do different things each week. And so I think if you're going to do something like that, I'd recommend you got to have some variety. Variety is the spice of life when it comes to e-com. Like you do the same thing, people are going to be burnt down, they're going to go away. But if you show up and do the secret sauce to e-com is the new, right? Put new on everything and you'll notice a difference. So if you do something different, I think that'll definitely help you. But in regards to the US, it's just complete frenzy normally. And I'd say it's a little bit of a shift. It used to be that weekend was the hot frenzy. But as brands and not only retail stores, but also e-com brands, as they try to cut down competition, launching earlier, launching longer, having longer sales periods, I'd probably say it's that entire month where people are conditioned like that. So that's where I've seen it go well, but you've got to do something new to keep the hype up, because otherwise because if you launch in the first week of November and you treat it like a Black Friday, it's going to be the same thing like Black Friday. You're going to have a great 3 days and it's just going to decline. So that's where you've got to change it up and you've got to keep the hype up by launching new things.
Let's drill into the nitty-gritty of the launch a little bit more, and specifically, you know, what are we looking at now? Because a lot of people, it's the Thursday night, or you're holding it till Friday. What's that sort of timeline looking for you when we're going, okay, let's hit the green button. We're pushing our VIP list first. When are we going to do that? Let's just sort of space out those timelines over the weekend, or the start of the weekend more specifically.
Yep, that's a great question. So we like to give the VIP list something special for two reasons. One, we like to give it to them early, and I'll go into a reason why in a second. But secondly, why we like to do it is because it gives you a lot of leverage to get people to sign up to your VIP list. So for lead acquisition as well. If you tell them you're going to give it to them early, it gives them a big reason to actually sign up to that VIP list. So there's two reasons. A big reason why I like to do the VIP list is because if you know how many people are in your VIP list, it gives you a lot of confidence of what your potential sales are going to be, because you know how well it's going to convert. So then let's say hypothetically, you do the teasing, you're 7 days out from when your sale is going to launch, or even 4 days out, and you know, okay, I've got 5,000 people signed up to my VIP list. And if 10% of those convert, which it's actually going to be higher, probably like 15% convert, you know how many people potentially, and you can reverse engineer your revenue. If it's not close to where your goals are at, cool. Then you got four more days to smash it really hard to get more people in that VIP list, or to change your strategy of how hard you're going to go on your acquisition. So my recommendation is I like to give it to the VIP list early. So typically a day before, or even a few hours before, is fine too. And in terms of doing it on that Thursday or that Friday, I like to do it personally the Thursday, because in the US it's a holiday. And the reason why is there's a reason behind it. People got fat during the day eating that turkey. They've got the carb overload. They're not wanting to move. They're sitting there on their couch on their phones because they don't want to move. It's the perfect time to launch a VIP list offer to those people, because like they're very focused. Whereas
they need to buy a gym kit.
Yeah, exactly. So all you fitness people out there, like, they're probably thinking, oh man, I'm so fat, I need to get in shape. That's the perfect time to launch. Or for people that want to feel good about themselves, like, that's if you have a product like that. But on that Friday, for example, some people are going out for like Friday door busters. And so what you're finding is you may not have as much of a captive audience on that Friday, because they're out and about trying to get their retail store offers.
Nice. The weekend really performs generally like in a bit of a hockey stick manner, right? So how are you looking to plan that budget over the weekend? And it can be almost, it should be very much a day trading type operation, because you kind of got to stay with it, move with how the performance is adjusting, changing over the weekend. So budget allocation, what are we doing to keep it pumping through? Because I know we did a few tactics last year that worked really, really well to keep it pushing through and keep those surges during the day. Let's dive in a little bit more over the weekend structure and managing the actual campaign across those 4 days.
That's a great question. So what we do is we're actually playing this now. You should, for those of you watching, listening, you guys don't see it, but we have a 3-page check sheet and checklist to make sure that we have no stone unturned. And part of that is a big part of it is just about that weekend. And one of the tactics actually is from your Scott was after Cyber Monday, like how to keep sales up, which I think we'll go into next. For the Black Friday offer, if you really want to go all out and you want to have the biggest Q4 you've ever had, this is how we encourage you to plan. Is you're going to have that hockey stick. You're going to have great sales when you first launch. It's going to dip. And then as their sale is coming to an end, the last minute purchasers or procrastinators are going to jump in. They're going to buy something. So the question is, like, how can you keep the volume and momentum going during the low time? So for every Q4, especially Black Friday, what we do is, so we recommend we have backup offers. What I mean by that is, let's say you have one offer for that weekend. We recommend plan four more offers. And the reason why is because you can then launch those spur of the moment as a quick flash sale for whether that's 1 hour or 2 hours, or you can change up your offer as well. Because if you have a plan B, C, and D, you can use that to your leverage to build hype. The reason why is, again, variety is the spice of life. Once you launch and told everyone, hey, it's 30% off or 40% off, whatever you're going to do, you know, you're going to have a tail end. People are going to forget about it. You can send them more emails, but they're just going to skip over it. But when you launch something new, you change it up, completely flip the script on them. it knocks them out of that that stupor, and that's what brings the attention back. So if you want to do it, like, we recommend going to that weekend with a minimum of four offers. And then the other strategy, the fifth one, is what happens after Cyber Monday. And Scott, I'd love for you to dive into that one.
Yeah, well, I'll go back to that because that was interesting. I think it was we only really tested it on the Friday for one brand where we did a new product specific offer, like every 3 hours or something, pumped out SMS email. And we just have another massive spike for like 90 minutes or so every few hours. And it just really kept that pulse going during the day and pushed it through. So yeah, the more you can plan out some specific product offers that you might, you know, if you want to clear something out or there's inventory, and if you can move on the fly, that'll really help. But we found that on the Friday, and then we were jumping across the board and trying to roll it out for as many clients as we could for the rest of the weekend. It was something that just works, you know, really, really well. But yeah, posts. So for, you know, what we were trying to do post Cyber Monday, you know, this was probably going back 3 years, was, well, how can you still, you've just acquired so many customers at a really cheap cost. How can you extract as much value out of them as between now and Christmas? Because Christmas is still there. So we're really thinking about, well, you know, if you've got a new product drop, doing it 7-10 days later, you know, maybe around the 7th or 10th of December, depending on when Black Friday drops, but still within Christmas shipping timeframes, but something new and fresh that you can drop, you know, another 10 days later and almost go straight back into list building hype mode and tease, like you were talking about, and then you've got a fresh drop. So it depends obviously what your product is, but if we're talking about fashion, for example, that could be the perfect time to almost, if you've already dropped a summer, we're talking Australia seasons, summer or winter, depending where you are, range might be like a volume two of that, or it might even just be, you know, a smaller range or something like that, or something specific. It might even be only just be a couple of products that are really, really good, solid, good offer. Great way if you can do that, and then you, again, coming back to, you know, how you're focusing on your measurement and your acquisition costs. If you know that you can get 10% of those people that you acquired over Black Friday, which should be a massive number of customers, to repurchase again 10 days later with a really high profit product or something like that, it just helps you adjust your goals and your objectives and get as much value out of those customers that you've acquired. So that was something that we've tried to plan around. That is obviously that needs a lot of planning, and you need to be thinking about that now at the latest, I would say, to sort out inventory and what that product might look like, but something that works exceptionally well for the people that do it.
Yeah. And to echo what you said, for example, if you're a brand listening to this, I mean, you got to plan all this now, because if you have 8, 10, or 12 week lead times, like, you have to put the orders in now. But I want to piggyback up what you said about that strategy of launching something new. And we literally had our retention planning for Q4 with our team internally here. And there's an amazing strategy that came out of it. It actually came from Lise, our senior retention marketer. And what works really well that we're planning for is on that new drop, for example, anyone that just bought over that weekend, what we do is we send them messaging, email, and SMS saying that we're opting them into a drawing for a giveaway of this new product that's launching in 7 days. And we hype it up that way. So you've been entered in. If you want to enter in any more, here's how you can enter in more. And then we launch it, and then we give them another discount, for example. So it's a great way to, they just bought, and it's almost like building goodwill. They just spent a bunch of money with you. Instead of saying, here's my new product, buy it, you're like, hey, also, we're going to for free enter you into this giveaway as well. Here's how you can enter more times. Then you launch the product. And so that they've been, it's almost like you gave them incentive, right? Because they were already in this drawing potentially already. Then when you actually launch the product, you can give them a discount if they didn't win that drawing. And it works really well.
I really like that tactic. I can't wait to see that one roll out this year and how it performs. So I think we've really covered like the three core pillars and given, I guess, a pretty detailed look at, even though it was high level, at, you know, the list building, the tease and the launch and how we run things over the weekend. Let's take a step back. 2021 versus 2022, a lot of changes. It's going to be very different. And I think that's primarily around the changes in data and attribution due to the iOS 14 updates. How are we viewing and measuring things differently this year and approaching that, especially in the discussions we're having with clients, the planning, and, you know, what are we going to be looking at more as a focus over the weekend to make sure that we're hitting the targets we need to hit?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we did cover this in another episode talking about MER. And I want to go in deeper because we've had a lot of time on it. We've been using it for a long time now. And how we do it right now is, for example, is we track one day attribution using MER. So we're looking at total marketing spend, total sales every single day. And we know at what point profitability happens. So from now until Q4, like that's really how we manage it. And what we're working with our brands on is it really, you want to be as aggressive as possible, which we said earlier. So to do that, we're day trading, to be honest with you, from day to day and week to week. Like we look at things on a rolling 7-day. If things are going really well, we see the trend, like for example, like in your surfer, Scott, like you see that wave coming, like we ride it, we scale as much as possible. We ride that wave for as long as we can. And then once it potentially dies down, then that's where we pull back and wait for the next wave, because people do come in waves and buying cycles. And then, so from now until Q4, that's how we're thinking about what's the most aggressive we can go at the KPI that the brand can sustain. And then especially during that weekend, we're doing it by the hour. So we're looking at the ads, because like we're doing so much spend, like some brands are doing 30, 50 grand a day. We're doing so much spend that we track it by the hour. Total spend versus total sales each hour. So we can ride the waves even in the hour segments throughout that weekend.
Do you think it's made it easier or more difficult with the changes with delayed attribution?
To be honest with you, I think it's made it easier a lot of times. And let me tell you why I think that. Because in platform ROAS, it was this pedestal that everything lived and died off of. But even before I was 14, you had ad blockers. You had different device at cross attribution. There's a lot of factors involved that, and also, for example, like we discover this even with what we're working on internally to combat this is, gosh, like if you're on Shopify, there's a significant upwards of 10% of people doesn't get attributed to ads because of page load speeds. For example, if someone comes to a purchase, the Facebook event may not even fire completely. They might already leave and sorry, too bad. So sad. Like you don't get that attribution. So I think it's made it easier because what we found is it doesn't hurt scaling because we're looking at the true north of the MER. The only thing that becomes more challenging is the in-platform optimization, which we can go in another time or even now, like what we're doing to help combat that and like how we've adopted and changed. But I think it's made it easier because I think us, the brands we partner with, everyone internally, we're all looking at the true North Star of MER. Like in platform is important optimization, but we look at that. And then if MER is going well, we think about how can we all scale? If it's not going well, okay, what do we need to do to get a new wave or to turn the wave around?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the challenging part this year when you're coming back to the day trading component, right? And drilling down into what's working specifically and what's not working and that limited view of data. Hopefully, you know, Facebook's modeling is a little bit better. We've still got a couple of months until then, but based on previous Black Fridays, we've just had ads manager blackouts 24 hours before. So I'm not holding my breath as to things getting better in the meantime. But fingers crossed that we can get a little bit of an improvement in the reporting and attribution within the platform, because it definitely makes it easier to be able to drill into campaigns, ad sets, offers, creative that is performing best. When you've got more of that data coming back to make those decisions a bit easier and in more real time. But
one thing I want to add real quick is you have to get comfortable with not only the day trading, but not having all the data at your disposal. And the reason why is, as an example, we have a Google team. And in Google, your conversion reporting is delayed 15 hours plus, sometimes even more than that for certain campaigns. So what that means is if you were to launch your sale at 8 a.m., you're not going to actually get the data from 8 a.m. until later that afternoon or that night. And by then it's too late to scale. So that's where what we recommend is do micro tests from now until Q4. If you know what your plan is for Q4, how can you do micro tests to give you the confidence of how it's going to perform so that when the day actually comes, you're looking at the ad spend and total sales and using that as your true north for scaling, because it's simply on Facebook, there's delayed attribution there too. So like that's how you have to think about it. And I think with delayed attribution, even in platform analytics, you've you've got to do micro tests. Like that's what we do. Like we micro test, we have confidence in how it's going to work. Then we can then focus on the scalability and sales volume as that metric.
Yeah, that's a really important point. I think the other massive lesson here, especially if you're coming into your, you know, first Black Friday, for example, or you know, you're not so experienced with it, is make sure you're making those business level decisions based on your MER. So you're looking at your ad spend to your overall revenue and not making the decisions based on what Facebook is reporting to you at the time. You know, I can go back a couple of years, and there was a really good example of this with a watch brand we were working with. I think we were running it, and the ROAS at the time, you know, early in the day was looking like it was 1.7 or something, and it was building, but the MER, the overall performance, was at about 7x, and we're like, let's, and Facebook was the primary channel, so it's like, well, you know, a lot of people would look at that ROAS and go, shit, it's not working, we better do something about this and dial it back. Whereas, you know, you making a smarter decision, looking at it from an overall perspective, going, okay, let's increase the spend, keeping an eye on those numbers during the day and adjusting them accordingly. If it starts dipping below whatever your target MER is, okay, then we may need to start thinking about pruning within the ad account, which comes back to a really good point you made earlier, and make sure you're setting those budgets higher than what you want to spend. It is significantly easier to prune your ad accounts and trim them back than it is to, if you're spending $1,000 a day, let's just use a round number just for simplicity, and want to get it to 1,500, it's much harder to increase your budget 50% than to get it from 1,500 down to $1,000. That's super easy. So two important things: make your decisions at an overall level, definitely. Look in the ad account, see what's performing and what's not working, but don't make your business decisions based on what Facebook's telling you, that's for sure. List building tactics. So let's drill back a little bit there. What are some of the things that we're looking at doing this year to really get those? Because we're trying to acquire the leads as cheaply as possible between now and, you know, I guess we've kind of been doing it all year, your audience building and list building. What are the channels we're getting them to? What are some of the tactics that we're doing to get them on the list as cheaply as possible? And what does the communication flow look like, you know, for someone that we're, you know, getting on a list, say now or in the next few weeks between Black Friday? Because it's quite a window. And, you know, we talk about that tease being 14 days out. If it's too far, it sort of loses a bit of its impact. What's that approach sort of look like at a more tactical level?
Yeah, that's a great question. And what I would start off by saying is, if you're going to list build now, this isn't for the purpose of the tease. Those are different strategies. But the list build is to acquire, again, like it's to fatten up your calf or your pig for the slaughter. So really any list building that we do, like you've got to have a back end flow, call it a welcome flow, call it a nurture flow, call it a educating about the brand flow. You've got to have that, because if you don't, they're going to get cold and you wasted that money or that effort to get that lead. You've got to still get them engaged with your brands. Like you need to build out those flows and those sequences. And that's why what our team is doing internally. Now, some of our favorite tactics, and this is going to get as nerdy as we possibly can, because I get really pumped about this. So let me tell you things we're testing right now. The first one is, I'm so pumped about this, Google search forms. There's a type of Google ad that you can actually acquire data, email address and phone number in a Google search. So what we're doing is we are testing that on all different areas. We're testing it on non-branded search terms, on branded terms as well, and then just using a Zapier to shoot it over to our Klaviyo. I'm so freaking jazzed about that. And then also, this is getting a little crazy. We had our strategy with our Google team where we're going to target our competitors, see if we can capture their own customers. We'll measure the cost and if it's even worth it, and if we can do it at a cost that makes sense. But yeah, we're trying all kinds of things. Also, you can do it on YouTube as well, FYI. Another thing that we're doing as well is other areas where we test running actual lead ads. You can get really cheap leads. Obviously, the quality is one thing to keep an eye on, but lead ads as well. And then what we do is we work with our brands to make sure, especially on the SMS, use your SMS opt-in short code. You should start putting it in your Instagram bio link, start adding it to your organic posts as well. Text 5555 to this to get this. It's a great, we have a brand that they acquired 5,000 SMS just by doing that alone. And it works really well. Another really nerdy tactic that we're liking is, so on Klaviyo, you can do what's called a dynamic block. And that dynamic block is you can essentially have a dynamic setup. If anyone you have and you don't have their phone number, you'll still see this opt-in just for them. And really great places where you can put that is you can put that in the shipping notification. Like, hey, if you'd like to get a text messaging notification as well, text 5555 and text ship. You get them to opt in. You provide them a service where they can get text messaging, shipping notifications, same thing with order confirmations. That's so, it's like low hanging fruit. Another thing that we do is when after someone buys in a thank you email, same thing in dynamic block, if you don't have their phone number. Hey, thanks for purchasing. By the way, we're going to give you an insanely good deal for the 20 minutes only. Text 555, text deal to 5555 and get 50% off only in 20 minutes only. Like really create, it works really well. Other areas and tactics that we're doing we do giveaway funnels where we have several brands doing a giveaway every single month just for lead acquisition. And then my favorite is giving away or doing free just pay shipping just to acquire customers. Now, let me tell you the beauty of this is a lead, a non-purchasing lead, phone number and email address. Typically, the conversion rate is going to be about 7% when it comes to Black Friday, 10%. Depending on their intent and how well you keep them warm from now until Black Friday. But a customer, that's 10, 15%, maybe on some brands even more. So buying or acquiring a customer is going to have a much better payoff. So we have brands where we have one brand, they're doing just free, just pay shipping. They have one product. It's a product that the COGS for them is like 95 cents, a dollar. You know, they bought like 3,000 units as an example, and they are just doing free, just pay shipping. And the person has to go through checkout. They still have to buy it, but they're acquiring customers and they're running that on top of funnel for ads. And then another brand is doing like $1 pants. I mean, they're losing money on it, but because they have the mindset and they know what it's going to turn into over Q4. And I'd say those are probably the things that I love the most right now. Other things you can do are quizzes. We have brands doing quiz funnels, which anything you can do with gamification, like I would highly recommend it.
Damn, that was fire, man. There's so much stuff that I have no idea that's going on at the moment on the back end here. That's super cool because it's really interesting for me to hear that being out of the strategy team these days. And how that's evolved I think this year specifically, now that we've got so many more channels involved and team members bringing input, you know, we go back, say, 2 years where it was very focused on Messenger, getting them to SMS, and it was probably centralized around that. Now we're looking at Google search and YouTube and a whole bunch of other stuff that you guys are testing here. That was, people go and copy and paste those show notes and start stealing some pretty solid material there. That was really good.
I may have given away part of the farm, not everything, but I gave away a big part of the farm just now.
Yeah, you gotta keep some secrets, man. You gotta keep some secrets. All right, let's get to what is probably the most important part that I think is where people overthink. It should be simple. People overthink it. Try to overcomplicate it. Offers. How do we dial that in to get the right offer? What's the process between now and Black Friday look like to try and get the offer that we feel is going to work the best without making it overly complicated? Because we've seen people do that and blow themselves up, like really sabotage themselves.
Yeah, it's really sad too. And when it comes to Black Friday, for brand owners, like there's a big desire to, like, I want to stand out. And they'll create this offer that's so confusing, complicated, that it ends up burning them. And I think for Q4, the simpler, the better. Just make it as irresistible as you possibly can. So there's a few ways that we think about this is we try to have all of our offers written out now. And the reason why we do this is two things. One, so we can have some time to kind of massage those to see what works and what doesn't work. And then the other thing is we'd like to do what's called micro tests. And so, for example, let's say your version of an irresistible offer for your brand is 30% off. Let's say that's the most irresistible you can do. Then what we'll do is we'll say, okay, if it's going to be 30%, let's do a micro test. Let's pick a particular product or a product line And let's not do 30%, but let's do 20% or maybe 25, just something close. And we'll do like a micro Black Friday test run on that product and see what happens to give us the confidence. And if, for example, if we do like 20% and we weren't quite happy with the results, we don't feel confident that 30% is really going to move the needle that much. Cause I mean, 10% is all it's, I mean, if you look at your numbers as a business owner, you think it's a lot, but from a consumer standpoint, like a difference of a 10 is not that big of a deal. So that's where then we'll go back. Okay, what else can we do to make this thing more irresistible? And then like, we'll try to massage it. Maybe that's, 30% plus a free product that costs you nothing hardly, or 30% plus, for the first 100 people, we're going to throw in this, you know, by still keeping it as simple as possible. And maybe that's, hey, why don't we increase our prices and do 35%? Or increase our prices and do 40%. Like there's different ways you can go about this, and that's just a few of them, but you've got to make it irresistible and don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah, I think that's a key thing to keep in mind here is, you know, it's still the product that people are buying. So if they want to buy the product, they're going to buy the product unless you make the process so complicated or you set expectations that aren't fulfilled. And a perfect example of this is, I remember this is going back probably 3 years ago, and we had a fashion client, and I think their offer was 30% off, but their banner underneath had small text that was made for desktop and unreadable on mobile that said only on offers over, I think, $150 or $200. They sell dresses. The dresses were typically like between $80 to $125. So you get to the checkout and you actually had to buy two to get the 30% off discount, and you could not read that messaging on mobile. And that was probably partly on us, you know, not picking that up at the time, but we weren't responsible for the website. We definitely built our checklists a little bit stronger and more robust. But I remember that one flopped and we were looking at it going, it's all these people getting to add to cart and they're not converting. And then we figured out what the problem was halfway through the day and changed it. And it opened it up, thankfully, but it's those little things, you know, it's the offer combined with the clarity, the messaging, the UX, making sure that the messaging's right and consistent. It's all these little things that you really need to run through with a fine tooth comb before the weekend to make sure it's right. Yeah. Like what are some of those checklist items that you make sure that we run through so we don't get tripped up with those? We've made the mistakes in the past, man, and we've learned from it. You know, we've had things that haven't worked, but I think we've been really good at improving what we've been doing, and it's super tight now. What does that checklist look like?
Yeah, and you reminded me of, I think, the worst Q4 offer I've ever seen. And it's also with one of the cardinal sins of Black Friday, no code needed. Never force someone to have a code. Like I could give you 100 reasons why, but let me tell you a big reason from a cautionary tale. We had a brand one time. They sold packages of something in the baby niche, and they sold in packs of 4 and packs of 8. You know, the performance was pretty good coming into Q4. And what they thought the great idea of an irresistible offer was buy one set of 4, get a second set of 4, 50% off using this code. Buy one set of 8, get a free set of 4 using this code. Buy one set of 8, get a second pair of 8 with this code. It was incredibly confusing. And that really taught the lesson for one of simplicity and also no code needed. So the first one is don't make people have a code. Make sure that you have no code needed, automatically applied. The second thing is whatever you're going to use, whether you code it in, you use an app to help you with your no code needed or your buy one, get one free or your bundles, test it ahead of time. There's so many brands that they'll install the app the night before, they'll never test it, they launch it, they didn't do it correctly, and then it flops. You've got to test all of your tech days before to make sure you worked out the kinks. Everything you use, every announcement banner, countdown timer, app, bundle, upsell, cross-sell, downsell, sell your mom, whatever it is, make sure you have got to test it ahead of time. And then another thing is, a big one, and Sky, like we've seen this backfire on different occasions, is you got to make sure two things. One, you check your spend limits everywhere. We'll check it on the ad accounts for you. You need to check it on your credit cards and banks. Like I've seen ad account be fine, but your credit card and bank, like, they close you down. They see a big spike go from, you know, 2K a day to 10K a day. They'll think someone stole it. They shut it down. So you got to check. You got to lock that down. Make sure you know what the limit is. Also tell them ahead of time, hey, I'm going to spend a lot of money. I plan on doing it. That's what it lets you know. Second thing is have backup spends. Have a backup PayPal, backup credit cards. Just, I'd like to go into a house having several plans and not be reliant on one plan and like have all my eggs in one basket. And then another big one is going to be just checking out. Like, we have some people in the past where they launched a sale that they just like check out. Like, you got to be really attentive. And Scott, you're big on customer service. Like, you will lose a lot of money by not answering your customer service. Like, they need to answer. They're trying to spend money on your account. Like, that's the one time to put in extra work, respond to those people as fast as possible. Cause I've seen a brand lose out on 15 grand in a day because they just wanted to go check out at the beach and they didn't respond to their customer service or they didn't have a plan in place.
Oh man.
So those are some of the big three.
The amount of money I reckon you could make if you sat there 24/7 over that weekend responding to comments on your ads, massive. I agree. You should. This is, again, it's Super Bowl weekend. You should be on 24/7 over that weekend. We are, like, we, in different times, we would get everyone together in the same place. We'd probably try to in Australia and the US separately, you know, COVID permitting at the moment. But it's such a good thing to bring the team together. Everyone's there to work on accounts, analyze things. It's such a fun weekend for us, but it's amazing that brand owners occasionally go AWOL and just leave it to us to do it. We need to talk, like, this thing's happening real time. But absolutely, like, the customer service side over this weekend, it's a massive opportunity for you to build that reputation. And you've got Christmas in 3 or 4 weeks, go and take a break then. Like, put the work in now, because this is where you're going to make a lot of money.
And I'd say it's a great weekend to surprise and delight people. I've seen, you can, let's be honest, like, some people, they'll say, your website's not working, I can't get it to work. It was probably them that couldn't get it to work. You know, everyone else doesn't have a problem. Great time to surprise and delight. Like, I'm so sorry. Here, I just want to make it worth your while. Here you go. Take this thing. Like, it's a great goodwill building, especially if, like, someone messages you at midnight, I want to buy this big thing for Christmas, and someone responds to them as soon as possible. Like, it's a great wow factor that honestly, I think it's probably one of the biggest overlooked things when it comes to that weekend. I know it's a lot of volume, it's a lot of work, but I would love to run a test one day saying you can have one person, that's all they do. And I guarantee it, if you were to add UTMs to the tracking links from people clicking on, I bet it would be insanely profitable.
Could not agree more. Ray, I think this has probably been the episode most filled with knowledge bombs that we've done. I actually think this has been an immense episode. Really, really, really good talking to you about this. Any parting words for everyone going into Black Friday here? What are your last recommendations?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. And I hope it was helpful for everyone listening too. Parting words would be, start now, have a plan, do the reverse engineer your goal. We're big on that at Right Hook. Like, know what you want to make, reverse engineer the inventory you need to make it, then reverse engineer potential list size you need to make it, then reverse engineer potential ad spend acquisition you need to make it. Like, just reverse engineer. It's no different than your personal life. Like, have a goal, have a North Star, reverse engineer all the way down to the most simple steps. And like, that's how you have a big Q4. It all starts with just starting now. So that's how you eat an elephant, one bite at a time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all in the planning. So much of this is in the planning. Guys, thank you very much. I hope you've all got a lot out of this. Any questions, you know, feel free to reach out to Ray or I. We're always happy to help. If you've enjoyed this episode and got a ton out of it, we'd really love the reviews. We haven't got many reviews so far. We've got one 5-star review. I think it's just people don't do it a lot, but if you have, we'd love it. And look, if you're looking for someone to partner with for Black Friday, we've got a few slots remaining open at the moment. But we will be cutting that off in probably about 3 or 4 weeks because it just gets way too late to be able to plan anything properly. So if you want to reach out to the team here at Right Hook, let's do it. Let's have the biggest Q4 collectively, with us or not. And wishing you guys all the best. And yeah, let's finish the year with a bang. Thanks, guys.
Thanks again for tuning into this episode of the Growth and Greatness e-commerce podcast. I hope you got a ton of value out of this episode. And if you did, we'd love for you to leave us a review on your platform of choice and help us reach as many people as we can. Now, if you're a brand founder, an e-commerce entrepreneur, or an in-house marketing manager looking to accelerate your growth this year, reach out to us at Right Hook Digital. We're a performance branding agency, and we specialize in partnering with e-commerce brands to help them hit their growth goals with maximum ROI. Now, if this sounds like a solution that you need, then check us out at righthookdigital.com and schedule a call with our client partnerships team. They'd love to have a chat with you and see how we can help you grow in 2021.